If you can take your Bibles out and turn to Psalm 28, Psalm 28. It is not a Heidelberg Catechism a lesson, not at all. No, it is something set apart. It's not from the book of Romans. We're not doing that here. Actually, it has come about as part of my own prayer time. Sorry, just want to see what I got here. Almost. Forget it. Part of my own prayer time, I turned to the book of the day of the month, 28. I was going to pray through a psalm, and it was the 28th of the month, so I turned to Psalm 28, and I began to read and pray at the same time. And I thought there's enough here that provoked me to want to study up on it a little bit and share it with you this afternoon. So Psalm 28, let me read it to you as you follow along. To you, this is David of David, Psalm of David. To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back upon them what they deserve, since they show no regard for the works of the Lord and what His hands have done. He will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Let us pray. Lord, I pray and I ask that you would use these words of David to inspire us to think about who you are and who we are and how we need to relate to you. You're a good God, a friend. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be pretty basic with my thoughts that I'm about to share here. And I want to start by saying this, all right? That a relationship with God requires both listening and speaking. You must listen to God and speak to God. And He, God, must listen to you and speak to you. I suppose you could say this is true about all of our relationships. They require listening and speaking. Now I'm going to read again the first two verses of the psalm, okay? Because the heart of it, the heart of it's right there in those first two verses. It says, "To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place." We really have here, David is talking to God, right? He's talking to God. Certainly David is in a lesser position as a man. But he's speaking to the Almighty God, so that's different than in many of our relationships. We speak to people who are often equal to us or in different positions of authority, but they're still people. And David's speaking to God. And although God is Almighty, David understands that he is still personable. All right? He's personable. He's someone who is like a person who can hear and talk with David. He's willing, even though he's almighty, to come close to his people, to condescend would be the word. So what's David's concern? He doesn't want God to be deaf to him or silent. Those are the two things that we talk about in our relationships, you know, being speaking and hearing, right? Speaking and listening. David doesn't want God to be deaf or silent. He wants the relationship to prove itself, to continually be taking place, to grow. In other words, David wants God to listen to him. And he wants God then to speak to him. In verses 1 and 2, David wants what? Evidence of their relationship. Evidence of your relationship with God. Assurance that God is relating to you and treating you as a friend is, I think it probably goes without arguing, is the most important thing that we could have in life. Everything else is so secondary. David wants to be reminded here that God cares for him in this relationship that they have. He does not want to be left alone by God. For David believes that if God pays no attention to him, he's going to be ruined. He's going to be just like the rest of men in the pit. This is a genuine relationship. I'm going to ask you quickly, and it's not something I'm wanting an answer from yet. I just want you to think about the question, how do you pray? All right? Don't answer that. How do you pray? Do you talk to God as someone who hears? And then do you expect that He might speak to you? And we'll get into how He might speak to you in a little bit, but do you expect it? Is that what you understand you have going with God? This relationship, a genuine relationship. Just as you are able to speak to God, do you believe He wants to speak to you? Can you imagine trying to develop a relationship with someone, speaking to the person, and them not wanting to reply to you, having no interest in really talking to you whatsoever? Where would that relationship go? Someone you speak to doesn't bother to listen to you. Is that helpful for developing a deeper relationship with the person? No, it's not. David certainly wants to hear from God. He certainly wants God to hear him. And says, in fact, if that doesn't happen, he's just like the rest of the men who end up in a pit. David did not think of God as someone far away. You know, some people get this idea of God that, yeah, He probably exists and He is God. He made everything. But He's so far away, out there in deep space, that you really can't know Him for sure. You really can maybe know some things about Him. But how are you ever going to be able to relate to Him, to know Him, to have Him tell you things, or for you to tell Him things and for Him to actually hear? They treat God as a distant God, a nice thought, a God in theory or on paper, but not one you can relate to. There are many men and women like this. They're known as deists often. They believe in a God, but not one who is personal and wants to be personal with you. Most people are probably like the worshipers of Baal. Remember that scene with Baal and the Baal priests? And they were opposing Elijah, and they were up there on that mountain, and Elijah provokes them and says, call upon your God, your gods, and have them burn up the sacrifice that you've prepared, call upon them. And they were doing all kinds of goofy things trying to communicate with what they called God, but to no avail. There was no answer. Nothing took place. And Elijah says, oh, keep calling. Maybe he's sleeping. Because Elijah knew that he was the one who served the only true and living God. And then what did he have him do? He had him pour water over his prepared sacrifice. And he called out on his God, who happens also to be our God and David's God. And God replied by burning up the sacrifice. David was not a deist. He didn't believe that God was just some creator out there that we can't really relate to. He asked God to hear his prayer and then to speak to him, not to remain silent. And I wonder if that's how we pray. There's a theologian, his name is Philip Bennett Power. He writes about how David thought of God as a personal God. And he said that David's God, he wasn't vague. He didn't believe in a God who just had general sympathy for mankind, and that David was somehow appealing to that God way out there that he knew was probably sympathetic to people. He said, rather, David's knowledge of God was that he was a personal God and a feeling God. And not all men, many people don't have that relationship. They don't understand God that way. So here in verse 2, David asks God to hear his cry for mercy, his call for help. He was in some dire straits, and David's speaking to his Lord. And isn't it true that communication, as I mentioned, is necessary for us to maintain any relationship? Communication is necessary. If you want a good relationship with God, then you'd better talk to Him and listen to Him. You cannot have a good relationship with God if you neglect that. You cannot. It's very similar to the most genuine relationships you've developed with other people. The ones you could become very close with are the ones you've spent time with, talking to them and listening to them. Some relationships we have are good ones, while others, they need attention. Some relationships are very surfacey. You know, you have those relationships that maybe you have with strangers. You're cordial, you're polite, hopefully, but you don't really get to know the person. Store clerks might be that way. The UPS delivery man might be that kind of a person. Even coworkers and neighbors, if you don't get too close, there's still that surface relationship. It only goes so deep. But any real good and genuine relationship needs for you to invest in speaking and listening to the person. Some relationships, they get undermined. They get hurt, damaged, because one or both sides have been deceptive, dishonest. Maybe they've lied. They tried to take advantage to manipulate the relationship. So the key for us with other people, the key for us with God, is to have genuine and lasting relationships through communication. It's listening and speaking with sincerity, with sincerity. Some people you're not maybe meant to be close with. But we are meant to be close with God. That's what He wants. And then once you learn something about someone because they've shared with you, it helps you to relate to them better the next time you're together. If you respect the person and you do things based upon what you've learned from them. I admit, and I was sharing this at the supper table last night, that often I've ignored God and my family. In recent years, I've been busy. I've been perhaps too busy with church and business responsibilities that I found it very easy to kind of walk past the most important people in my life. Not give my wife or my children my ear, not spoken to them, not listened to them. And I tell you, that can spell disaster for any relationship you're in. I must take time to listen to my wife, children, and God, and also to speak to them meaningfully. Now, let me ask you this question. How does God... You know that you pray to God, all right? Maybe too little. Maybe not enough. Maybe you do regularly and earnestly. But how does God speak to you? Tell me how you believe God speaks to you. Anyone. Julia? So you think that you prayed that Ken and Cindy would get here safely, and they did. You believe God spoke to you through an answer of a prayer that went in your favor, right? And safe trip back. Okay, others? So that's kind of based upon the results, maybe, you feel like. Okay, sure, Jean? Okay, so could be in your devotional time, there's a verse or two that really kind of jump off the page at you, and you chew on it. Maybe a day or two later, it comes up that makes a lot of sense in what you're going through in your week, and it's perhaps God's word for you in particular and your need in that week or in that day. Did I say that right? Okay, good. So it's kind of based upon His word and your circumstances at that point. Right, others? Lynn? You have some more peace and assurance of what? Okay. Good. So you have, after you've prayed, you have like a peace and assurance that he does love you, or you are confident that He's looking over you in the decision that you're about to make. And good. Does that have anything to do with buying a car? Maybe. She got a new car recently. A used car, sorry. Yes? Okay, very good. So when you have troubles, perhaps, in life, like Thelma's going through some of these difficulties with her health, she's a little nervous, goes to prays more, and you feel like what God is impressing upon you is to have confidence that He's got things in control, that you can trust Him. That's good. I don't think we're necessarily going to hear anything audible from Him, right? Although someone did say, well, what if someone else tells you something that you really needed to hear at the moment? Yeah, well, that would be audible. It would be another person He'd be speaking through, right? That's good. I don't think that He's necessarily going to say,
Calvin,
right? And start to communicate. Plus, He probably doesn't sound like
that.
You know, He probably sounds different, maybe. I don't know. But I do believe it is a confirmation of a heart-to-heart relationship, a spirit-to-spirit communication that isn't going to add to the Bible. We've got the Bible fully. It's God's Word spoken for all men. But it's maybe a reassurance of what you've learned in the Bible. Maybe it's a bringing to your thoughts something that you were taught long, long ago in had seemed to have forgotten. And here you are in prayer asking for God to deal with you in such and such a way. And He brings it up by His Holy Spirit, brings it up to the surface. And it puts you at ease. Right? I told the kids in Heidelberg Catechism class that it's not a bad idea when you're praying in a meaningful way that you take notes when something jumps out to you in your mind, because it could very well be God speaking to you, bringing to the surface something you need to be thinking about. Note it. Make note of it. Prayer journal. Philip Bennett Power, I'm just going to read another little quote that he used about David here in prayer. And he says, sometimes, and I'm going to paraphrase some of it, sometimes, you know, you'll pray something and you'll have this great confidence from God that I hear you. And that's all that you need, Power says. That's all that David needed. He just needed to know God heard him. Whether he gets the answer the way he wants it, you know, like Ken and Cindy coming or your health problem, isn't nearly as important as that God heard you. And that he says, I've got it from here. Okay, this is what Power says. There will be comfort in the heart from the felt consciousness that God has heard our cry about the matter and that He's told us so. We shall say to ourselves, God knows all about it. God has, in point of fact, told me so. Therefore, I am in peace. No matter what happens, no matter what He brings into your day and how He answers the prayer, He knows, He's told you that He's heard you. And let's move on. In regard to the relationships, there are the wicked are not good friends. The wicked are not good friends. All right. They tend to speak with their neighbors, but they're often insincere. You know, they hide things, they cloak things. We all have this problem sometimes of being manipulative, of having ulterior motives, bad motives. But it short circuits a relationship when that exists as part of the relationship. And the wicked often are not upright, not as upright as they should be, at least with people or with God. Take a look at verses 3-5. I want to read that. He says, do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially, that means kind of nicely, pleasantly, with their neighbors, but they harbor malice in their hearts. In other words, you harbor a ship, okay, it's in the harbor and the safety. Well, they've got malice, they've got hatred in their hearts, even though they're speaking pleasantly. And you guys could probably, if I said, tell me the name of a person, don't do this, tell me the name of a person who's malicious and wicked in their hearts, or they often are devious in their hearts, even though they smile and are really nice to you to your face. You probably could come up with somebody, or two, or three. You may have to look in the mirror. I don't know to do it. Hopefully that's not the case for the people of God, but there are people just like that. And the wicked do that more often than those who God has done a work in, right? And David says in verse 4, repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done and bring back upon them what they deserve. Since they, what, show no regard for the works of the Lord and what His hands have done. He will tear them down and never build them up again. David doesn't want to be part of that group. He doesn't want God to not hear him. He doesn't want God to be silent. He doesn't want to be left to himself, or he's going to end up in a group just like that, just like you and I would, based upon our sin. If God would leave us to ourselves, we'd be among these guys, having a blast. Spurgeon, he says this, it's a sure sign of baseness, foulness, okay, when the tongue and the heart do not ring the same note. You hear what that is, what he's saying there? When your tongue is not really saying what your heart is doing, it's baseness, it's foul, it's not ringing the same note. You're not true. You're not being honest. You're being like the wicked here. Those who speak evil, or those who do evil by acting nice, saying nice things, but in your heart, you're not. Deceitful men, Spurgeon says, are more to be dreaded than wild beasts. I want to encourage you in your own relationships with people and with God. All right. Do you spend time with those who are most important to you? Okay. Let me put it this way. Do you spend time more, you spend sufficient amount of time speaking and listening to those who should matter the most to you? Who should matter the most to you? Do you actually talk to them and listen to them? Are your conversations deeper with them now than they were 2 years ago? They should be deeper. You should be able to discuss things that are maybe more important, more lofty. You have more time, you've had more time in 2 years to interact with these people. And here's a question. Are the people you spend a lot of time with, maybe they're not the ones you should be spending a lot of time with, but you do spend a lot of time with them, you consider them your friends, are they good for you? Are they good for you? In other words, do they encourage you to love and good deeds? Do they encourage you to show greater regard for God? Or are these friends, quotation mark, not that interested in the works of the Lord at all. You see, some people can call you a friend, and you might think they are a friend. They can smile a lot, be a lot of fun to hang out with. But they will undermine, if you give them an opportunity, the most important things you're supposed to do in this life. Yes, some fun people can easily get in the way and do damage to other more important relationships. What do I mean? I mean this. It's permissible for us to sit and have a cup of coffee with a friend and talk and discuss and learn about them and spend time. However, if that friend makes it a habit to badmouth mutual acquaintances, if that friend makes it a habit to tear down your church or the government or whatever else, then maybe that fun relationship needs to be changed. Maybe your relationships that God would want you to have and to be building up will be damaged instead by choosing the wrong friends, the wrong people to spend a lot of time with. If eating, another example, if eating in your business's lunchroom, and this is a personal example from my past, if eating in your business's lunchroom places you around people who continually badmouth the boss, then you may want to choose to eat in your car or at your desk instead. The Apostle Paul warned us, bad company corrupts good character. And I'll tell you from the heart, that sometimes it's not always bad to lose a friend, if you know what I'm saying. It's not always bad. It's actually quite helpful to lose a friend. And here David tells the Lord that he does not want to be dragged away with the wicked. He knows that bad guys and girls will be repaid for their evil work. They will get from the Lord what is coming to them. For David, God is his stable rock. God is David's wonderful friend. They share time together. David, obviously, just like you and I, benefits by having a genuine relationship with the Almighty God. And this is where the psalm kind of turns, leading into verse 6. And Spurgeon says, and I think this is very true, Spurgeon says, our psalm was a prayer up until this point in verse 6. Our psalm was a prayer up to this point, and now it turns to praise. All right? They who pray well will soon praise well. Prayer and praise are two lips of the soul, two bells to ring out sweet and acceptable music in the ears of God. So, verse 6, David begins to praise here. It's the expression, you get the feeling of one man's love for someone else, in particular God, someone much greater. He says in verse 6, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. Now, in verse 7, you see David says, in my heart, in him my heart trusts. And then he says, my heart leaps for joy. This is definitely a heart-to-heart relationship that David's having with his Creator, with his Redeemer. David has turned the corner in his prayers. He went from earnest pleading in the beginning to now in verse 6 saying, God has heard me. God has heard me. It seems as if God has heard him and spoken back to David. How else will he know God has heard him unless it's in the generic way. How else would he know that God has heard him unless God has somehow spoken back to him? Interfaced. Spirit to spirit. Heart to heart. I don't think David in this prayer, if he's reached this point where he's begun to praise God, his prayers were so heard that he's satisfied. He's now praising God. I don't think it's because he heard an audible voice from God. I don't think he saw God with his eyes visibly. It's somehow God, it seems, did communicate to David, impressed upon him something. And now David's at peace. He's praising even. It's kind of similar, I thought about, you know, when you have a good long conversation with someone you're getting close to or are close to, family member, close friend, relative you hadn't seen in years. That you leave that couple hour conversation and you're just like satisfied. Ah, that was great. Catching up. Your relationship's gone deeper. The thing is, when your relationship goes deeper with God, it's exponentially better than your relationship going deeper with a friend or family member. He satisfies you in ways that are inexpressible, ways that cause you to praise him. Even if it's every other day you find yourself doing this. And when your relationship with God is deeper and he satisfies you, your life and your world become much improved. Your perspective on what you're supposed to be doing here becomes much improved. Okay, finally, David, he realizes that God is the fount of living water, not only for him, but for all of his people, all the covenant community. I share these things with you, and I feel like I've just begun to dip my feet back in the waters of prayer as I've been so neglectful. I've been putting my feet back in the waters, or consciously trying to, of time spent with my own children and wife as well. But David realizes it's not just him. He hasn't got the corner on the market when it comes to having a relationship with God. But this is for all of God's people. In verse 8 and 9, he says this: "The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one." And he says to ask God, "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." So it's not just David. This is you and me. This is Elijah. This is all God's people can have this genuine relationship. Now, this is rhetorical questions. These are questions that I'm not waiting for an answer on, but I want you to think about it as I read it. How's your relationship with God? Is it genuine? Do you spend time with him? And remember, a relationship with God requires both listening and speaking. You must listen to God and speak to God. And God must listen to you and speak to you. Has this been your experience? Do you put yourself in a position to have such a relationship? Or are you so busy with all your important life, all the things you just got to do, all these good works and all this important stuff, that you have no time or have left yourself no time to pursue this relationship? Because I tell you what, if you do that, if you're like I've been many times and so busy, so distracted that you don't spend time with the one that matters most, then you're missing the point of life. You've missed the forest for the trees. Have you been ignoring God? Right? I found it easiest to compare my relationship to God as I compare my relationship to my own family members. I feel like I've ignored them at times. Just too busy. Yeah, you know, I say, hey, bye, kiss, smooch, whatever, but like ships passing in the day or the night. And that's no way to deal with your relationships. Make no mistake, God desires to have your heart. He wants you to talk with Him. And believe me, when you grow deeper in that relationship, it benefits you, your life. He doesn't stand to gain because He's God. We stand to gain in every way. David knows it. He experiences it. He experienced it. And from verse 8, he knows that you and I can experience this too. I'm going to just finish with this one quote from Matthew Henry. It's really a neat kind of idea. Because you think about David, you think about Elijah. Hey, they had God's ear, right? Abraham, he listened to them. He spoke to them. But me? Matthew Henry says this, and it has to do particularly with that verse where David says, the Lord is the strength of His people. Okay, not just David, but His people. Matthew Henry says, the saints, speaking of David, rejoice in their friends' comforts as well as their own. For as we have not the less benefit by the light of the sun, so neither by the light of God's countenance for others sharing therein. Yeah, I know. How did he say that? He said it better. In other words, the sun, David realized, as the sun shines upon him and gives him light and warmth, in the same way, it shines upon all of God's creatures. And just so, as God is his rock, the strength for him, David knows it doesn't take away that God is not the same strength and rock for all of God's people. And he's very easily able to be tapped into. You don't have to be David. It's because God is giving his attention to David doesn't mean he has to take it away from Julia or Brenda or Margaret. All right? It's plenty. Just like the sun shines and warms all people, God has got that capability of being the strength and having a relationship with all his people. Any questions or comments in regard to what I just said? Okay. Right. She's saying that sometimes she prays and says the Lord is her strength, but sometimes she prays and she thinks. Right. Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah, I think that's what David understood. He felt like the Lord did answer him. He didn't change. He was still in prayer. He was just finishing his prayer. He felt that God had heard him and spoken to him, even though the thing he was praying about would probably have to be played out later in his life. Now, God may let David fall into the hands of his enemies at times. But David knows that God is with him, that he did hear him. And that's what you had to learn, or are still learning, that even though if God were to allow you to have more seizures again, He wants you to know, I'm with you, Thelma. I hear your prayers. I just want you to go through this, but I'm going through it with you. If you don't talk to Him, and you don't get that assurance, then keep talking. Keep asking for Him to be your God. And you can always ask Him not to have that, but that will be up to Him, whether He allows you to have seizures or not. That's up to God. I think so. Yeah. You keep praying. You keep talking to Him and listening, and talking and listening. Okay? That's all you can do. And sometimes He teaches us things throughout our life that we didn't know when we were little, didn't know when we were bigger. I told somebody a couple of weeks back, I said, you know, I know now and have learned now more about the Lord's Supper than I ever imagined I would know. And that's even after, what, 10 years, nine plus years here at the church, I have learned so much more about the Lord's Supper in my own study that I thought I knew everything there was to know about it 20 years ago. So you always are learning. He's always teaching us something more. Yes, Joyce? Sorry. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And always he answers them, trust in me. I mean, that's always part of his answer. Even if it's going to be, you know what, your husband's going to die, you trust in me. Right. And I will get you through this, and I got great plans for you yet. And yeah, you're right. Yes. Right. I think we got to be real careful with that. I tend to think that people who say, "Well, God told me or showed me this," I used to, as a young Christian, think, "Oh yeah, what else did He show you?" You know, and I used to say those same types of things. But I'd be very careful. Bite your tongue, you know. You get assurance from God, and mostly He speaks to us through His Word. That's what we know for sure is Him speaking. And so I feel like even in prayer, if we feel God has spoken to us, it's because He's lifted something from His Word back into our thoughts. Okay, He's corrected us maybe in a direction we were praying and saying, "Now wait a minute, you know that's not right to want to call down vengeance upon them. You love them. I'll deal with vengeance." You know, bring other verses to your thoughts as you're praying. Sometimes there's just little moments of wisdom that He gives you, I think, in your prayers. I don't think we should write those things off as all just things that are thoughts in ourselves. Like God never answers. I think He does answer. I think that's how He does communicate with us. It's spirit to spirit, heart to heart. But it's always going to be in line with His Word. If it's not in line with His Word, you heard from somebody else. You know, and I don't know that He's in the business of telling you what job to take and what color socks you should wear. I think that sometimes we get carried away with that stuff. I think there's a lot of freedom, and He just wants us to be wise, and we can pray for wisdom. He says we should pray for it and make sure we believe He's given it to us. That's what James says in the book of James. So, but sometimes people get to go down all kinds of roads that, I don't know. I've had people tell me things that God told them to do that were just ridiculous, but it gave them the feeling of an excuse to do it because they wanted to. You know, so they blame God for the thing that they were wanting to do in themselves. So, yeah. Yes, Catherine. Oh, amen. And if that is the case, that is definitely one of the reasons that they are still here. Not the only, I'm sure, but I think a lot of times when we have family members that are having trouble and need care, it's for us to repay them for what they've done for us all the way along, you know, and it's not... Yeah, that's good. Really? That's neat. I would say, and I already asked some of you. I know that some of you pray a lot, and I ask you to pray for me to be a better prayer. I really want that. Because I know that's the only way I'll have success in this life is depending on God prayerfully and not thinking. The minute you think, and the way I've been thinking at times, that I got so much to do, I got to get through life, I've got things to accomplish, you might as well just kiss it goodbye, because God doesn't play that way. He doesn't think that it's proper for us to be self-sufficient and think we're doing things on our own. He kind of wants to teach us that that's not the case. And make us people of prayer again. I think that's the only way we're going to survive and grow as a church is by prayer. It'll help us understand sermons better. It'll help us to have courage to invite people, you know, or whatever else. The Word of God and prayer are key tools. All right, any other comments? Okay, let's say a prayer. God, thank you for this time. I ask that we would be people of prayer. And you know how short our memories are and how quick we are to get off our knees and do the important things, quote unquote. But, Lord, the most important thing we could do is, bulletin quote said a week or two ago, is pray and pray more and pray more still. And I just ask that we would be of that mind. And not only for things to get done the way we want them to be done, but just to enjoy you and learn to get to know you more deeply so that we could be upright and do things in respect for who you are and what you ask of us. So I pray and I ask that we would lose ourselves and constantly go from prayer into praise. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.